we know that stolen generations has caused a great deal of trauma in our families and communities, and that trauma has been far-reaching. So it's been transmitted from one generation to the next, and that's had a direct impact on and underpins a lot of the challenges we face in our communities in terms of health, substance abuse, violence, mental health, difficulties gaining employment, poor education outcomes, poverty, a whole range of those social problems that we're trying to tackle as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people goes back to the impact from stolen generations and colonisation. So that's why our focus is on the BDH report and those recommendations, because they haven't been fully implemented and we continue to live with the trauma and the impact of trauma in our communities today.
When we're looking at funding for services, I feel like it's not really taken into consideration the long-lasting effects of intergenerational trauma, and that this isn't something that is considered when it comes to the application of funding. Would you think that that would be correct in saying that?
There's been, in recent years, that there's been better understanding and insight into trauma and how it affects people's behaviour, like how it affects brain development, how it affects our physical health. So it is an area of inquiry and research that has been building up over a number of years. But we do have a lot more information now so that we can start to inform our services across whatever domain it might be, whether it's education or health and so on, is we can become trauma-informed so we can understand the impact of trauma and how we need to shape services to support people who have been impacted by trauma, like our stolen generations. But it's also led us to start working with communities about how do we address trauma directly, and communities are coming up with their own designs for projects and ways of tackling trauma. And at the centre of that is culture, cultural identity, strengthening culture and reconnecting to who we are as a people. And that has a big impact on starting to overcome trauma.
When you talk about, you know, solutions, can you talk about some of the initiatives that the Healing Foundation runs to assist communities regarding trauma?
The way we work is we work in partnership with communities to address trauma, and that's through cultural healing. So the Healing Foundation doesn't make a prescriptive how communities are going to do their work, but we work with communities to design solutions. So this is self-determination in action. Communities are designing, developing and delivering their solutions. But the sort of activities they land on, they come up, are creating things like yarning circles and safe places, that are places that are culturally safe, where Aboriginal people can come together, start to understand and learn about trauma, where it comes from, how it impacts on people, understanding the history of colonisation. And we've seen through our work that when people are armed with that knowledge and information, they start to make changes in their behaviour, because they start to realise that the things that are impacting on them, which you know, might be issues in their families or the communities around violence or drug addiction, alcohol abuse and so forth, those kind of challenging issues, people realise that these are products, these are symptomatic of trauma. So people then are able to start taking action to address that, so they can start to go and access services and start to get help and assistance. So that information and knowledge is critical, understanding our history, understanding colonisation and understanding trauma and its impacts. So, you know, there's a lot of services and programs out there. You know, access in some places is difficult, but there are services that exist. But what's missing is this enabling element that enables people to take action for themselves. And healing helps people do that.
Yeah, and last time I spoke to you, we were talking about reparation, and we were talking about you were working on some form of initiative regarding a reparation scheme in South Australia. So has there been any progress about that?
Well, South Australia did announce a reparations package, and New South Wales Parliament is inquiring into a reparations package for stolen generations. But the reparations was one of the recommendations that came out of the Bring Them Home report, and that's why it's important to revisit it. And what reparations, the sort of reparations elements are things like compensation, that's considered, acknowledgement, so acknowledging the past and an apology, that's an important element of it. But there's also the truth-telling of that history, so that people who have been affected by, you know, being removed from their families and communities are acknowledged, that the nation acknowledges and accepts as truth that that's what occurred. And for a very long time, stolen generations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people just were not believed. So that's an important element of a reparations package, is that truth-telling and acknowledgement and apology, etc. But that leads to healing. So people, they're the first steps to encourage and enable people to go on healing journeys.
It seems like because that hasn't been brought through, you know, each jurisdiction throughout the states, that it's something that is quite forgotten. I mean, this year we're hearing more about Sorry Day than we have in quite a few years. There's actually been a bit of a, I guess, a revival of understanding. Last year it wasn't even brought up in a lot of the media. So this year we're seeing more of it today than I've seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's important. It's 19 years since the BGH report, and in 12 months' time it'll be 20 years. Mm. So I think there'll be even more interest around how has this nation responded to the experience of stolen generations? How have they responded to families that were torn apart, children that were stolen from their families and their communities? How are those communities acknowledged and supported now? And that question has to be answered by this, by our country, our nation, our governments and leadership. And to date, based on, you know, the ad hoc implementation of the BDH recommendations, I think it's safe to say that the, you know, the nation's response has been found wanting. You know, there's mountains of goodwill and support from the broader Australian community, but we haven't seen enough of the action and implementation from our government and policymakers. And one area that they can focus on going forward is recognising trauma and investing in healing responses.